Ugh, I'm not in the mood. Do we have to do this?
Yes.
Wait, are we recording? Okay, let's go. You're listening to The Ally Colbert Show.
Welcome to the Ally. I was about to say the Ashley Gavin Show.
I'll take it.
Welcome to the Ally Colbert Show. I'm joined here by Ashley Gavin.
It's me.
We're recording in my house.
It's lovely.
In Los Angeles.
I love the skylight.
Oh, thank you.
I love the fireplace. Am I allowed to do this?
Yeah, be like, I love the balcony.
I'm obsessed. I
love
the
two
pool.
Spiral staircases.
The tennis courts. I didn't even know you could have that many tennis courts.
Wait till I show you the guest house.
Ah. It's too bad you're making me stay at a hotel
with your
guest house.
Next time, please stay in one of the guest suites.
But also, I do love your doggy. The doggy is real.
I know.
I love him.
He is such a special dog, and I think...
He is special. He's got a good soul.
Yeah. I think it's one of these things where, like, I did have a dog before this dog. I don't know if you remember this. I had a little black dog.
Okay.
That was rabid and mean.
Yes, I do.
And she would attack me.
I do remember you posting about it.
She would attack me all the time. And at first I was like, you know, maybe I can train this out of her.
Sure.
So
you want,
I spent
you want that
time
as a mother.
And money to get this dog to be in a better place.
Did you hire a dog psychic?
I hired a dog trainer. We took her to Julian's friend who's an energy reader. Which is just...
Does she do dogs?
So she can read anything's energy, convenient for her business model. she said, we said, Brennan, can you read the dog's energy? And she said...
Brennan, the energy reader.
Yeah. And she said...
Like you wrote it in a script.
She's
Brennan with a Y?
No, Brennan, B-R-E-N-N-A-N. We said, Brennan, read the dog's energy. And Brennan said... So I checked in with the dog's energy.
You know that I'm opening an energy reading company.
Are you really?
I'm going to.
So.
What I actually should, and I should just
I have
roast
no
people.
Idea. You're probably. Yeah, yeah. Your energy looks like a little bitch.
your energy is brown. It's a piece of shit. It's diarrhea energy.
It's just your way to, like.
I apologize for making fun of your friend. I have a fancy psychic friend. So.
No, she doesn't. We're not making, you know, she doesn't care. Please. She's married to me. She's, yeah, just to be really specific. I'm giving her business in case someone wants to. She does remote energy reading. So she reads Ellie's energy. Ellie's the original dog. And she says, listen, I checked with the dog's energy and the dog doesn't want to be on this planet anymore.
Stop it.
She was suicidal.
Stop.
I had a
stop.
I had a suicidal dog.
A depressed dog?
She was so, and that's why she was miserable, is that, like, anytime I approached her, I could tell she just, like, she wasn't happy being alive. Like, so she would attack me. She wanted to kill herself. She would do weird things. Like, when it was snowing, she would, like, bury her head in the snow to try and, like, end it.
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes dogs just like to root around in the snow.
For, like,
that breed
upwards
of
65 seconds.
I don't know.
In, like, one spot.
Huskies, they roll around to get cool.
This is a little black dog that clearly had a thirst for, like...
Death.
Death. Like, yeah. She wanted to tap out.
Yeah.
And, like, she would get... You know, New York, you're walking your dog. Your dog gets, like, a condom in its mouth, cigarette buds, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, she would get a... But if I would try to get it out of her mouth, she would clamp down on my hand and cut through my hand.
Oh, my God.
And one time she got a piece of glass in her mouth... And
oh,
I was like,
Ellie,
Ellie. And she kept clamping down on the glass and she was bleeding all down her face.
This poor anxious dog.
The dog wants to kill itself. I moved to Los Angeles with
energy reading
with the dog. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm dating a girl at the time who makes me want to kill myself.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm kind
the
of
the dog is taking after you.
Right. I'm sourcing the negative energy.
Sure.
So it's a chaotic living situation. I moved to LA. I bring the dog. I'm thinking sunshine, palm trees. This will help the dog.
The dog wants to be outside.
The dog, I'm like, come on, we're going to Hollywood. You got the golden ticket, Ellie. We moved to LA and Lucas. I don't know. I just call him.
Luca.
You know, don't you call everyone like in a, like,
yes.
Their name starts taking different iterations? I move here. Julian's on the couch one day eating. Ellie goes on the couch and Ellie bites Julian, like rips through her skin. And I'm like, okay, it's time to move on and find a different house.
for
living
this
situation for Ellie. Because, like, it's one thing if I have...
If it bites you, if it bites another person, biting, you have a potential lawsuit.
Biting... I mean, I'm not worried about Julian suing me. I just care about her well-being.
But
it could be. No, 100%. Luca, come here.
If a dog breaks the skin, I'm pretty sure there's, like, laws about that. Like, you have to put the dog down.
Exactly. So
and you don't want to do that.
Over here and cuddle with everyone.
I love you, doggy.
Okay, so then...
I love you, doggy.
We get... I'm like, we give Ellie away to her dog trainer in New York.
Really?
He fell in love with her. And he was like, I will adopt her if you're giving her away. He likes rehabbing fucked up dogs.
Yes, it's a challenge. He's a fixer, but with dogs.
So he took Ellie, and Ellie's been living with them for almost 2 years.
And how is Ellie doing?
And I think she has, look, she's still Ellie. She's still, but they like it. They're like, this is fun. She's got a personality. I don't want a dog with a personality. I want a dog that looks like it found its way into a bottle of Benadryl. You know what I mean? It's just dozing off.
Yeah,
and that's kind of Luca.
Yeah.
So then we got Luca, and Luca is
but
the
Luca's
epitome
loving.
Of Julian's energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm actually just blaming the dogs on all the women in my life.
Sure.
Julian is fine with anything. She's comfortable. She's easygoing.
Yes.
Everyone likes Julian. There's nothing to not like. That's Luca.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's chill. He's around. Joke about whatever you want. I'm just going to fall asleep here. It's just chill. It's easy.
He is very floppy, and I love it.
I know.
I love
really
your floppiness.
Cute. He's really
And you're
sweet.
Very handsome.
Yeah,
and your fur.
I know. He's a handsome guy.
And you got him as a rescue, which
I know.
Is like, you never see dogs like this.
I know, that are like this hot for a rescue.
Yeah.
Rescues are, let's just say it. Rescues are 1, 2, 3, janky.
Yeah, janky.
They're
I was
like,
gonna go
they're
with
like
ugly.
One tooth and like three legs.
Yeah,
and
especially
like,
dogs. Cats are whatever.
Cats always look the
you
same.
You never
want to get cats, though. I don't like cats. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'm not going to.
Should we talk about this is what we talked about yesterday about the DM slide?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Or you don't want to talk about it.
No, I'll talk about it. I just I would prefer not to name names, if that's okay, because I don't want her to listen to this
names.
And get hurt.
We're definitely not going to name names.
So, yeah, like Allie said, if you're listening, I'm in an open relationship. I'm not a douchebag.
Yeah.
And a celebrity crush of mine from the Bachelor series slid into my DMs. And
a woman, obviously.
Yes, a woman.
If you're not familiar
it was
with
Zach
Ashley
from this season of The Bachelor.
If you're not familiar with Ashley Gavin.
Oh, yeah, I'm a lesbian. And I have a comedy special out on my YouTube right now, so go check it out. Okay.
When this airs. Yeah. What's the special called?
Live in Chicago.
Let's get into that after.
Okay. It's not that interesting, but it's funny.
I'll take it.
If you
it's
think
interesting.
If,
Let's talk about it. All right.
No one gives a shit.
No, we care.
If you love me, you'll find it either way.
Yeah.
But I love you. she slid in. I was super excited.
And what did she say in the slide?
She said, well, you don't forget. You have
the
best joke of all time.
Oh,
she
okay.
said, I'm obsessed with you on so many levels.
And we said.
And I was like, what levels? And then you famously said.
The levels are fucking and not fucking. So
yes.
She wants you on both the levels.
Yeah, both levels.
So what is the holdup with the DM back?
I think I have the ick because I've been watching her stories and I'm like, I'm not sure this is the type of person I would go for
right.
in the wild.
Okay, but two things to say about that. One is. There's tons of women that turn me off on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm mature, so I'm not going to let that stop me
You're
from fucking them.
She's like doing her thing. I'm a mature person
so,
who will fuck anything that moves.
Yeah, don't let it turn you off. Because you can't. Women on social media, I agree with you. These women on social media.
These women. Showing
We're
their tits
this thing again that we
on social media.
No, it's not just the tits. It's the women. I don't like their earnest posts, these women about their feelings and their dreams.
I do that sometimes.
You do that, but I'll let it go for you because I kind of see you as a sensitive boy.
And boys are allowed to express themselves.
I'm like, oh, that's nice. This boy is finally letting himself feel something.
To feel. No, I feel a lot.
But I don't. Yeah, we know you. I know. I'm really learning about.
I cry every day.
Yeah, I think they're happy tears though.
Yeah, they're happy a lot of the time.
Yeah,
a lot of the time they're really. I'm just emotional.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I mean, so I don't like though when girls, women, I should say, post something like I just got my dream job, I'm so happy about it. I'm like, no, this is drying me up. I don't want to hear about your dreams. Social media is for mystery. I don't want to see. Anything that's real. Don't tell me about how you've been in chronic pain and talk about what chronic pain is like and drop in the comments if you have a doctor that can help me. Or like, I'm going to spend the next year traveling the world. It's always been a dream of mine. Shut the fuck up. Post a thirst trap and the caption should be emojis.
Not all of us. One to two words. Not all of us are beautiful. Okay, well, I have chronic pain. I have chronic pain. And when
Do you post about chronic pain?
I talk about it on my podcast.
You've been like slowly letting your followers know you're suffering.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey guys, I'm dying.
Breadcrumbing in the chronic pain. You know, when I do talk about it on my podcast because it feels like a more appropriate forum.
Right.
Because when you put it in a short little soundbite in a social media post, it's just not. I don't know how to describe it, but I will say when I write about it on social media, I get a ton of like, thank you for talking about this.
I'm about to share on social media that I have Crohn's disease.
You should absolutely lean into the Crohn's niche.
It's been hard. I started selling out arenas. Thank you so much. You know her from Crohn's disease.
But that's the thing.
She goes to the bathroom 3 to 4 times a day.
But that's the thing. Like, people want to know that there's someone out there with Crohn's disease. The people with Crohn's.
Yeah.
The PC, the people with Crohn's, PWC.
But Pete Davidson already kind of took our Crohn's community.
Did he really?
Well, he's used it well.
Get on Crohn's TikTok. You're going to start selling out stadiums.
I should get on Crohn's TikTok.
You should be Crohn's lesbian.
I have like...
Sam's diabetes posts go so viral.
They do?
Yeah.
You know... I always message Sam
because
on
people are
Facebook.
Craving a role model.
Sam has also had a very interesting, Sam Morrison we're talking about, has had like a very impressive career trajectory.
Yes, yes.
I love him very much. To see good people get momentum.
Are you snoring or are you upset?
Chime in, buddy. Good people get a little bit of momentum. He sees his reflection in the fire.
Oh.
He's very curious about
it. Oh, he's not sure that that's him.
Yeah, he's like, I think there's another dog
in the fire burning alive. Meanwhile, your old dog would be like, I wish that were me. That dog that looks
fucking
just like me is
jealous.
Burning in hell.
I'm fucking jealous.
It's okay, Luca.
Yeah, Luke, it's okay.
But like, my people, sounds like I'm flexing.
Yeah, no flex. Whatever.
I can go to Indiana. And I can sell out a room in Indiana.
Yeah.
And no one will give me a TV show. No one will give me a movie.
Yeah.
But I can't. When I put something out there, people will watch it.
Do you think that's from your Instagram or your TikTok? Or where is everyone coming from?
TikTok is the mass audience generator.
TikTok's the boss. And then you translate
TikTok's
over to different
all
places.
The middle ground. The people who love me the most listen to my podcast.
Right.
Those are like the mega fans.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting me.
Yeah.
But TikTok is the engine that drives the, I like this comedian, I'm going to try and go to see her.
Right. And that's my understanding of TikTok as well. And I feel what you're saying about before you said, you know, I would talk about my personal things on my podcast, but if I write it out on my Instagram, that feels a little riskier. I agree with you. I think the podcast, in general, if someone's listening to your podcast, they're more like committed to you.
Yeah, and they want
to
know.
Like they're dating you.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
they
not just
know
like
about
swiping past you on an app.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
want to know about your trauma.
Is there someone that listens to your podcast that you're blown away that this person regularly listens to We're Having Gay Sex?
Literally everyone who listens to my podcast, I can't believe they're listening to my podcast.
Like a person you respect.
Oh my
like
God, so many of my guests. So many people that I bring onto the podcast. Oh, I love this podcast. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like these big YouTubers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That is really like super cool.
Yeah.
Another creative...
Is there someone specifically where you respect them so much to the point you get nervous that they listen to the episodes?
Not nervous.
Okay.
Because I know most of these people, they don't listen every week.
Yeah.
I don't have like a create. I don't think any creator can sit down and listen to a podcast every week in their field.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I
don't listen to any comedy podcast every week. Well, you do actually, right? Aren't you Tim Dillon?
I listen to Tim Dillon once in a while. I just started listening to Jackie Schimmel's podcast a little bit because I think she's very funny. But like for example, Lisa Traeger.
Yeah.
Listens to my show semi-frequently. And
wow.
I
that's an enormous
I like
compliment.
Can't handle that.
That's so cool. Hi, Lisa.
Every time she like will be like, oh, I loved this part of the show or like this, I'm like, I'm intimidated.
Yeah.
That by her listening. Same with like Annie Letterman.
My headshot photographer, who's probably now the biggest headshot photographer in New York City, incredible photographer.
Who is
she? Listens. Corinne Louie.
Corinne, I've heard her.
She's really talented.
Yeah.
Really talented photographer. She listens.
You're like the most popular, actually, plumber. In New
Come
York.
On. She captures people's souls.
No, I know. It's good. I just like the idea of us slowly leaving creatives and just going out. My tailor, who's one of the biggest tailors in West LA, Gary, he works in Marina Del Rey. He's been listening to the show for 7 weeks now.
Or even friends listening sometimes.
Yeah, friends listening.
That kind of freaks me out. Yeah, get it.
Yeah, dogs like to dig to my I don't know why we would always say dig a hole to China. That was like a thing we said.
Yes.
Out.
Well, it's sort of true. If you were to dig a hole through the center of the earth, you'd wind up on the other side, but it wouldn't be China. It'd be more closer to Australia.
Dig a hole to Australia. So you're special.
Yeah. I have a special out on YouTube right
Congratulations.
Now. Thank you.
I saw the screener and it is beyond hysterical top to bottom. One of my favorite specials. I laughed. I cried. Tell us how you made this special.
Well, I'm doing it independently. So I self-funded the entire thing, and I picked
really
the production team.
It's really we funded it, though.
What's that?
It's really all the listeners funded it.
Yes, all the listeners funded
Instead
it.
Instead of self-funded.
Yes.
It's like audience funded.
Yes, it is. It wasn't through a direct campaign, but through the Patreon and stuff like that. It is supported by the listeners and stuff like that, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But, like, so you had a hand. It's so weird when you're, like, grassroots, like... Well, you've had a mix. I feel like your real come up right now is by the fans, but you've also had industry success.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I've had zero industry success. It's 100% the fans. I'm so grateful, but it is like it's weird because you're like you feel indebted to them and you don't want to take anything. You know what I mean?
Well, what do you mean take?
Like any money or anything?
No, take it.
Yeah. Well. But
they gave it. They love you. They're saying yes. They're giving you the approval.
And it's the biggest investment. I've never spent more in my life. It's the biggest investment I've made in myself.
Yeah.
And including all the marketing and stuff like that, just flying around doing different podcasts. And hopefully it's going to go really viral. But the special is like,
what's it called?
You want me to get vulnerable? It's called Ashley Gavin Live in Chicago.
Yes. Just please, like, get vulnerable. Let's go.
There is not a woman on the internet who's had a classically viral comedy special. It's all men.
Right. I'm checking the levels.
There's only one woman who's broken a million. And it
Who
took her
that?
Like Liz Mealy.
Oh,
and
wow.
It took her like 2 years to hit that number.
How did she do that? Any thought on that? Or just
I think just
being up there?
Just consistency, posting, promoting.
I don't think a lot of people know who Liz is.
Yeah. She's like kind of this undercover successful comedian.
They must, though, if she's going viral. I just don't hear her name come up that much.
I know. She's really, like, locked into a cult following.
Yeah.
But it accumulated over 2 years.
Right.
Not to diss Liz. I think what she's doing.
No, she's supremely talented.
Yeah.
Great joke writer.
She's, like, and such a nice person as well.
Yeah, really nice.
Very giving. I spoke to her this morning and to just talk about this. But, like, as a woman, like, getting people to just click on your fucking thumbnail to watch a comedy special, like, the comedy base on YouTube is kind of right-leaning.
Incels?
Guys.
Yeah.
And they're just, so for me, what I
You're just like, you're worse than Schumer.
Yeah, exactly.
They hate women on
They
there.
Hate women.
It's amazing, yeah.
And I'll get men being like, you're the first woman I thought was funny. You're actually really funny. And I'm like, that is so fucking mean. But also
Thank
the
you.
Biggest mm-hmm. compliment because... You're so sexist, and I managed to overcome that sexism.
Yeah.
Partially through my masculinity, probably.
Oh, that, yeah, exactly.
The point is...
Right, because I'm kind of presenting and performing in a masculine manner that
right,
suddenly
exactly.
you're like, I like women. You're like, you're gay.
Right.
Just like another dude.
Right. But, like, I think what I want this special to be...
Sorry, I'm just like, you're not a real woman.
I'm not a real woman.
My response.
That, I mean, like, that's... In their mind,
yeah.
I'm not a real woman because I'm not a sexual object to them.
Right.
Once I've gotten rid of that, once I'm one of the guys,
yeah, one
you
of
know?
The dudes. Okay.
So my goal is to be the first woman to be like, no, this platform is not just for a right-leaning male comedy audience.
Yeah.
White, male, kind of incel-y comedy audience. There are women out there. And people who want to support good comedy. We don't really have that on the internet. It's like, it's a really a stronghold on the kind of center right and way right side.
When I think about comedy specials on YouTube, I think about like Sam and Mark and,
yeah,
you know, those guys.
Yeah.
And Joe List.
Guys.
100%. I don't think about a woman posting a special on YouTube.
Yeah. So if you're hearing this, please go and watch it, because it's not just, in my head, it's not just for me to go viral. It's, I want to carve a path so like you could put up a YouTube special and it would bananas. Just
right.
go.
So yeah, watch it for me.
Watch it for Allie.
I'm so, how do you go about for the special choosing the jokes, which jokes you're going to do? And also,
it's really hard.
And also like structuring the hour.
I think any good hour has some kind of theme.
Yeah.
Whether it's really understated or very clear. I don't like, my favorite special.
Is this the Stutzy an hour? No, that's a
different
show.
No, different show. This was really like kind of what I'm speaking to right now. Like, being, I am a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
People call me the lesbian comedian.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who I am.
Mm-hmm. Not who you are.
Not who I am. Mm-hmm. But when I, you know, I did Carnival. I was Carnival's first openly gay performer.
Yeah.
They didn't want to see the lesbian comedian.
Right.
I came up in rooms that I really had to figure out how I was going to make these people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to rooms that if I didn't, you know, from the internet, when I became the lesbian comedian, people would get mad if I strayed away from gay material.
Right.
So the special is very much about being like, why do I have to cater to either one of you pieces of shit?
Yeah. 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 And
why can't I just be an artist? And it's about, it actually is about picking the jokes. I talk about how self-conscious I felt picking these jokes,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to prove to both sides that I could be this comedian for both sides of this.
Yeah.
And it's about the history. There is a slight through line about the history of some gay comedians having to start in the closet that kind of comes at the end. But that's sort of the theme, is like, why do we put these labels on these artists, and why can't these artists be for everybody?
And what was the response you had in the room? Were you happy about it, or were you too neurotic in your head to?
I was really happy with one of the performances.
Yeah, first or second?
I did four.
You did four.
And the third performance was the money performance.
Wow.
The first two, after the first two, I thanked God that I paid for four, because I wasn't originally going to pay for four. But I sat down and I looked at my shows, and my audience is very new to comedy. They don't go see comedy. They are very nervous. I had a club manager say to me once, I've never seen so many fingernails on the floor after a show. Like biting their nails.
Really?
Yeah. They're a highly anxious group of people at my shows.
They must see you on TikTok and you're like the first person that they want to leave the house for.
It has that energy.
Yeah.
So they can be really hard.
They're like, we've never done anything. But yeah.
Everyone jokes. I say at the show, I know you've never seen comedy before. And it gets a laugh. I don't think people realize how serious I am, because they'll come up to me and they'll be like, this was my first comedy show. I'm like, yeah, I fucking know, dude.
Right.
So they don't know the rules.
Right.
They don't clap when the music goes down. They barely even clap sometimes when I get
on
stage.
They don't know how to be human.
They're
like, I don't know how to shake hands. They don't make eye contact. They're nervous. People on the internet are
They are. And let me
nervous.
Be clear. I am honored, like deeply honored, that I'm the first time they're seeing a comedian. But I looked at my schedule and I was like, how many shows, when I do five in a weekend, how many am I like, that was a fucking good show?
Yeah.
One. So I bought four. And I was like,
But what is that, just a combination of you and the crowd, or what's going on? By the time you've done two, you're like, okay.
Yes, there is some of that. But the second performance that I did, I was like, I nailed the performance, but the audience, when I listened to it on tape, it was actually great.
That's always how it is.
But the third show was like,
fire.
Blow the roof off.
Wow.
So I was really happy that and then the fourth show, I had the tape. I just did crowd work. I did 45 of crowd work.
And
so then, I technically have two.
And then
specials.
You'll drop some of those in, or is for clips?
Just for clips. And maybe I'll release the whole thing.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. I keep forgetting about that.
Wow.
But it was super cool. And I just remember feeling so free that after that. And when my sister was there and my girlfriend was there.
Your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So you revealed who your girlfriend.
I did main reveal.
I know. Why do you call her that?
It's a bit. It's
What's
like
the bit? Because I want to know.
When
you
listen to the radio edit of when people say main bitch, which is incredibly derogatory.
My main bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
meaning I'm fucking other people, but this girl's the main girl I fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. they'll censor it as main main in on the radio edit.
They do?
In the past they have.
Oh,
I don't know if they still do it. So
that's
I just call their main main. There was a different main main at some point, but like it just became like a joke.
Okay, so can we talk about a little bit about the main main situation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, because I think I identify with a lot of your situation, namely, well, you have an age gap.
Yeah.
And I think you have an 8-year age gap.
Yeah.
Same as Julian and I.
Mm-hmm. She's 27, just for the
She's
record.
16?
She's 9.
She's 27 and you're 36?
35.
When do you turn 36?
November.
Wow. I don't think you're that old ever.
I have
and
good
And by the way, it's not old.
I'm immature.
But I never think you're 35. I think you're like 31.
That's, yeah. And
do you
I live
feel
for
31?
That. Thank you. Yeah, I feel immature.
Yeah. So so you dated Main Main. Can we say the name?
Yeah, Jen.
Jen.
Jen and I met when she was 24 and I was 32.
Does Jen have now an influx of followers? After
yeah,
that
she does.
How many she?
I think she got like 1,000 new followers, maybe a little
okay,
more.
Okay, fun. So you guys are dating. And I remember when you first started dating her, you were elated. You were like, I met someone really cool. I think she was like living somewhere else.
She was living in Boston.
Because you were like, what's like kind of long distance, but like I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I knew in my heart that I met my wife.
Wow.
I was sure of it.
What, because of the immediate connection or how attracted you are, or both on top of
it? I think both on top, but mostly because...
Both on top, mainly me on top.
She made me feel really safe.
Yeah.
She was kind.
Yeah.
She made me feel like no one else had ever made me feel in my life.
Yeah.
It was healthy.
Yeah.
It was really healthy.
Yeah.
But because of the age gap, she had just been getting out of something. She made it super clear. She was like... I'm not ready for marriage. And I was like, well, I am, so this is going to suck.
Right.
I actually tried to keep it a little more casual.
Julian's going to murder me if we raise our voice anymore, just to let you know, because she's on a call.
I'm yelling too much.
Yeah, I love you.
I'm really
loud.
And
that's why I feel comfortable telling you, normal volume.
I don't think I've ever spoken at a normal volume when I get excited.
I know.
Okay, I'm like,
talk about the love of your life.
I'm going to stay down here.
I'm so sorry.
No.
Because she'll be like, I was on a coaching call.
Yeah.
But you know what?
No, she
I kind of blame her because
she has the right to do her job.
I kind of blame her though because I said I was podcasting.
Yeah.
And she always walks.
I'm from New York.
No, don't go solo, Ashley.
Okay. Okay.
Just don't scream.
I can't not scream.
No, we'll find a happy medium.
Okay.
I'll have to coax you into the right spot now.
Okay.
So, but what was interesting was you kind of have the vision for your life where you're going to be married and have children.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
That's fair to say.
Yeah. The children thing freaks me out a little bit because of the time, but, you know, just going to have to figure it out.
Well, that's where I am, and don't wing it.
I'm not going to wing it. I'm going to get my... I must freeze my eggs.
There you go. You're going to say get my eggs frozen.
I know, and you corrected me last time.
Because I don't like how it sounds. Frozen eggs.
Yum.
Yummy. I love frozen eggs and ice cream.
Cold eggs.
Ew, that's disgusting. So, you guys... We're together for how long before you took a bit of a break?
We dated
up?
A little
what
bit.
Were you doing?
Yeah, we broke up. We dated for about a year and a couple months.
And then you break up. Why?
Because we were getting very serious.
Yeah.
And she knew that I really wanted a life partner. And she also knew that she had just was moving to New York.
Wasn't ready to.
Wasn't ready. Wanted, you know, newly out as bisexual, wanted to explore that. She just wanted freedom, and I don't blame her. She's 24.
Yeah.
So
no, that's so young.
Yeah. So I was very much like, you go and get out of here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If you love her, set her free.
Yeah.
If she loves you, she'll come back. Right.
Something like
that. Is
that
like a saying?
That's
if you love it, set it free. Is that about a bird? Isn't it? It's like if you let the bird out.
Yeah, a butterfly.
So you let her out, and she came crawling back.
She came crawling
did she
back.
Come crawling back, or did you?
She came crawling
what
back.
What did you discover in
which
the
is unreal.
In the year?
If you know me, the fact that she came crawling back,
why is
I
that?
Cannot believe I demonstrated the restraint. Because
were you desperate
I'm
to go get her?
Absolutely.
To just pull her back and make her miserable?
Not make her miserable, but I just knew I couldn't.
Yeah.
Because it was healthy. I can't believe, because I'm so used to codependency and the addictive feeling
I'm
of
so
love.
I'm so into codependency.
Love.
Isn't that bad?
It's bad.
It's hard for me to regulate my mood. If the person I'm with is sad, I'll get sad. If they're happy, I'm like, and also like when you live with the person, do you live with main?
No, not yet.
But I don't know how to like, if she's going to sleep
early.
Well,
we did kind of live together because of the pandemic.
it's hard, right? Because you can't be like, if we're in the house together, that's what I said with Rachel Ballinger on the show. If like we're both in the house together, if you're in the house with your partner, you're living together, I don't know how to like be like, I'm working tonight.
Yeah.
Like you're like, we're going to hang out and like watch right. Netflix.
It's really hard.
Right?
Super hard.
So that's difficult. I feel lesbians go lean towards codependency more than anyone else.
Probably.
Because it's two women. It's so easy to be like, it's a sleepover.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so she comes back. What does she say to you?
Basically,
but
that
you were
she
talking
just
a little.
Really, a little bit. We kind of eased into it. That was what made it better, actually. Because she was like, when she came crawling back, crawling, this is a bit. She didn't come crawling.
Yeah.
But when she came crawling back, she was still like, I'm starting to feel myself want to finish up this freedom thing that I've been doing, but I'm still not quite ready.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And we just started kind of hooking up.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was like a very, and every time.
It's like petting Ellie. It's like, you got to wait for her to come to you or she'll snap. You're
right.
Like, okay. You're like playing chill.
Yeah.
Come here if you
I really
want,
tried. Because,
puppy.
But the thing that I did that I think was.
Clutch.
Was clutch was I kept dating. Like I kept seriously dating. Because I was like, and because I'm not going to get my heart broken. If you're not ready yet, I'm going to seriously try and find a wife.
Right. You did that. You
I did
really
that.
Really looking.
I were really, yeah. I
did
went
you
on.
Find anyone
there's
close?
Two or three people. And no, I couldn't
Why
fall
not?
In love. And they just weren't my people. Like there was this kind of well-known on Instagram therapist that I was really into that never materialized into anything.
Yeah.
But we hung out a lot. And never hooked up.
She's married.
She's engaged.
Now.
Oh, that's a story. She unfollowed me and then followed me today. This is something I would never mention on my podcast.
Why?
I don't know. I don't even
know. Did you hook up?
No.
So get over yourself.
I don't know why she even unfollowed me.
Next thing you know is going to post a reel. How to unfollow and refollow the person you like.
And I met another woman that on paper I was like super, super excited about.
Yeah.
But turned out to be... Not, but turned out not to be right. And I met another person that I also had a similar age gap with that I really deeply connected with happened too quickly. And in it happening too quickly, I was really kind of falling for her a little bit.
Yeah.
And I realized like, this is too intense. This feels codependent. This isn't right. And I pulled back out of that one. Because it was just too, we weren't compatible.
Uh-huh. By that time.
But that had all, and every time it started happening, I was just like, hey, I just want to let you know, because you're
free.
You're free. I'm going on a date with someone that I'm taking seriously. And we.
So you would let her know
I would
before
let
every
her
date?
Fucking no. Because.
And why before every date? That's like
not
psychotic.
Before every date. Not
just say no, getting ready to get fucked and meet my wife.
No. That's not what I did.
Yeah.
What I did was.
Things are getting serious right now.
This sounds manipulative and
no,
mean.
No, I understand.
But what
saying.
I was actually doing was saying like, I know how much you care about me.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know that I'm going on a date that I'm taking seriously.
Yeah.
And it would feel dishonest to not let you know.
But doesn't she know that ahead of time? You're saying I'm going on serious dates. You need to tell her a la carte style. Every time you order an entree, you're going on a serious date. This is dinner. She
no,
knows
I'm
you're
not
eating.
Saying, not, I'm not saying per date. I'm saying per person that I met.
Met another one.
Three. It was three over the course of
another
like.
Another one. DJ Khaled.
Oh, actually, the first one I didn't tell her about because we were not at that point.
In
so it was only two.
Yeah.
And then finally. She was like, all right, I'm ready. Like, let's date. And then it was an open relationship at first. It still is an open relationship.
But it was open, closed,
but it was,
open.
No, it started open. It still is open. And it's open because of the way it had started. Because she was like, we were just dipping our toe.
Yeah.
And now that I'm in an open relationship, which I never thought I could be in, I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty fun.
So at what point are you like, let's do this together, but we'll be open. When does that conversation happen? She initiates it, right?
I think it was like last spring, summer.
Yeah.
That we were like, this is kind of a relationship, but you're not calling it that. And then it was at the end of the summer that I was like, this is a real, we have to this is a relationship.
Right.
We went to a wedding together.
We went on vacation.
Yeah. So I was like, I really need to know that we're moving towards.
You wanted that. You always want that. That's amazing to me because you have like bachelor energy. But then
what?
No, not by what you say, but by how you like are, your persona. I
think. On stage, maybe.
Yeah, it's just not who you are in real life. I'm like fooled. I'm like pretending I'm friends with.
I love flirting, but like I'm not. I'm really like I'm so into people's personalities. It's really hard to like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like I said about my celebrity crush.
No, I know. I feel you. Okay, so then you're like, let's be in a relationship. She says yes to this. The other thing that I feel about this is that she's saying yes now, knowing why you guys parted a year ago.
We were really intentional about that conversation. Because yeah. I was like, if you cannot do this, you can't break my heart again. And she was like, I know. And
how can you promise that? That's life.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know, it's like, it's almost like you have to be with me forever.
No. What it is...
And I know that's not
it, by the
way.
Have you eliminated the... Are you feeling the craving to
restless,
do what you've done?
Explore.
Or are you over that craving? And she was equally thoughtful and was like, I am not going to commit to anything until I'm sure I am over this craving. And so that's why we took such a long time with it.
And then so she says, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I was as shocked as you.
No. So okay. So then what
I texted her that last night.
What?
I said it to her. I was like, it's really incredible the way you've made me feel, because it could have so easily felt like an ultimatum, but it didn't at all. Like when she came around and was like, this is what I want to do, you're my person, there was not even a moment of tangible regret from her. Like, I have felt so safe and secure, and I've been pretty shocked.
Meaning you don't feel like she said yes, but is 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
Even
like she
with
was
the
pushed
open.
Into it. Yeah.
Okay, so then she comes back around. It's clear I've dated other people, you've dated other people, but you're my partner, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But let's stay open.
Yeah, we were both like, it's been fun.
Tell me about because I've done open relationships. I've had moments of open in relationships. Tell me about the thought behind that, and can you share your rules? Because I always want to
know
what people's rules are.
I'm happy to. So, because it is really hard. We're just like, we're kind of like no relationships. Just like crushes, hookups, even if it's a regular hookup, like do your best to like keep it from getting too intimate and close. So that's really our only rule, is that it doesn't lead to deep feelings, that it stays at like the crush level, and that it's like it's a kind of gray area. It's hard to define.
Yeah.
But you know it when it's happening. And anytime that it feels like we might be going into breaking a boundary of more than a crush, we kind of talk to each other about it. So like if she sees someone twice, the same person twice in a week, for example, she was like, oh, that feels like kind of weird. Like, let me ask Ashley if that's okay. So she'll like come to me and be like, my schedule, like I hooked up with this guy, you know, whatever, 2 or 3 days ago, but he's free again. What do you think? And I'll be like, basically yes or no, just based on the... Yeah.
That's so tricky.
I've never felt like I've had one or two moments of jealousy.
The jealousy is not the tricky part.
That's
the because jealousy I could tolerate.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable, but it's jealousy.
You kind of get
a few
over
minutes
it after,
and then
yeah,
it moves
you get
through.
Over, yeah.
What's difficult is like there's no rules around how many times you fuck Brian. Just don't fall in love. Go. Good luck.
But I know, I understand
yeah.
that, but I trust her because she comes to me and talks to me about,
I know.
We tell each other when we have a hookup, we don't talk about the hookup, but we're like,
you
hey,
have to
just
say,
FYI, I went on a date. No, not yet. I feel like I know her rotation pretty well.
So you're like, she's probably cuddling with Mallory tonight.
I kind of have an idea. Yeah, actually. I don't know exactly when, but I don't think about. That's the crazy, Allie, the craziest
well,
part.
You're busy.
Is that I don't.
You're also very
think
busy.
About it. I guess I'm very busy.
You know? Right,
yeah.
But you're not thinking about it. And this is working for you because it opens up fun for you.
Yeah. I don't even really need to hook up with that many people. I just like being able to flirt with people. That's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's
little crushes.
That's the joke I did with Emma Willman when I was like telling her how I like want to fuck other people. And she's like, just get a sex doll. I'm like, I just want to text with the sex doll. I don't want to fuck it. Like, I just like the flirting part.
Emma seriously suggested that you get a sex doll?
She was like, well, why don't you get a sex
doll?
She's
so funny.
I forget what she said. Maybe she was saying how guys
so
could get a sex doll.
Damn funny.
Yeah, she's really funny. Okay, so that happens. Wait, I was going to say, but then the other thing that's in my mind, and I'm asking you all of these questions because your situation is mirroring back my situation to me, is what is your thought around kid thing?
I know that I want my career to be in a certain place that I feel like, oh my God, it's in front of me. I can, if I just stay on this path, I will reach it. I just have to stay disciplined. I want my career to be in a certain place that I don't have kids till I'm in that place. Because yeah, it's gonna
that's the wrong paradigm though. This is every person gets this wrong. This is
from the book?
No, this is what Americans always say. They say, I've told you this before. They say, once I have this, I do this, I be this. They say, let me get this through because okay. It's a good clip.
Yep.
They say, once I have my career, I'll finally be able to have kids and then I'll be happy.
I'm not worried about happiness part of it. Whatever. That will never happen.
Whatever. In reality.
Happiness is now.
In reality, it's be do have. Yes. I have to be ready to have kids.
Yes.
Then I can do this.
I think I am ready.
Right now?
I would like to be aware of the financial things. I have goals for my parenting that are financial.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's that crazy
to
want to have a bank account that will support some of the things I'd like to be able to give
kids. What are you trying to do with your kids? Take them to Greece?
Take them to Greece. No, I want them to be able to do fun piano lessons. I want them to be able to pursue
extracurriculars.
I probably want two.
You want two.
And
boy
I want
and
to be able to, I don't care. I want to, I hope I have girls or people. Boys mm-hmm. kind of freak me out. But I will have people no matter what. They will be people.
Yeah. I hope I have people.
But boys, cis boys kind of freak me out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. I agree with that philosophy. I don't think that's what I'm doing.
No. But when you say I want this and then I'm that. But some of that's true. The financials.
Yes,
and
I want to be able
to. And that's reasonable, by the way.
Yeah. And I have a full-time job, so I want to be able to afford support.
And so Jen says, yeah, I'll be, 29
the
and
thing
I'll have
is,
kids.
Jen wants the same thing. And
she
who
wants,
am I to rob her of her career ambitions?
But she
I
wants
am,
to have kids in 2 years.
No, I'm not. And I'm not having kids in 2 years. That's
when are you
why
having
I
kids?
Must in my 40s.
Oh, you're really having kids in your 40s.
That's what I plan to do.
Like when? 42?
I don't know. My mom was in her 40s.
She had you
at 40. Wait, and my
were
sister
you
at 45?
No.
Yeah.
45?
Yeah. And we're totally.
are we totally fine?
Yeah.
Wait, 45? Did she carry?
Yeah.
Were you guys at frozen embryos?
Nope.
Your mom got knocked up at 45?
My dad was 53.
And your mom got pregnant at 45?
Yep.
Is she like the oldest pregnancy in existence?
In America. My
She's
mom would
with
hate
you at 40?
That I'm talking about this, by the way. But
she'll never listen to my podcast.
No.
Wait, that's wild.
Also, she needs to get over it. The woman
that's
is
amazing.
75. She looks incredible. Instead of like denying her
Did
age.
Did you always have the oldest mom at the playground?
No one knew because she looks really good. She looked really good.
But weren't you 10 and your mom was like 60?
I was 10
was like,
and my mom
was
30.
40,
but I grew up in New York City. So honestly, there were a couple older moms there anyway.
Yeah.
And she really wasn't,
wow.
Of course.
Okay. So you know what? The problem is that Julian won't wait.
I'm going
to
wait.
So that I've arrived at the answer. Julian needs to have a baby at 45 and give me 8 more years.
And I will say, what a stupid idea on my part for my health, for my energy. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but like I'm not ready.
What
I know I'm not
about?
Ready today.
You've never been righter.
Okay.
I'm you're speaking
look
wisdom.
At, look at men.
Some
look
of these
dads,
and that's what I'm always saying.
Some
look
of
at
these
men.
Fucking dads are 10 years older than their wives.
Yeah.
And they're having kids in their 40s.
Oh my God.
And they're
God.
Fucking killing it.
Yeah, but the other thing with men is that not only do they have kids in their 40s, they could have kids in their 30s, and they don't see the kid.
Exactly.
They just, Dave Chappelle, he probably has 17 kids. He had them probably at
22. Does he really?
At 22. Okay, Google. How many kids does Dave Chappelle have? Three. Okay, Google. How old is Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Okay, Google. How old are Dave Chappelle's kids? No, God,
hey, Google.
She can't do anything complex.
Hey, Google. How old are Dave Chappelle's children?
You tried talking to it straight. You're like, wait, we got to put off our top voices.
No, I just was trying to make it clearer. I thought children.
Hey, Google, how old are Dave Chappelle's babies? Mommy wants to know. I think Dave Chappelle has teenagers. I think all of these guys have kids whenever. And they just keep going with their career. They're on tour. They see the kids for Christmas.
I could never do that to Jen. Because Jen is talented and deserves a shot.
What's Jen's career?
She's an actor.
Oh, she's an actor. How's that going?
I mean, she's doing it. She's booked a couple co-stars.
Really?
Yeah. But
on big shows or what?
Julia on HBO.
Good job, Jen.
Yeah, and she's booked some commercials. She's got it. She's going to work. The issue is that it's so much luck. So what she needs
to do. She booked a co-star on Julia? It's huge. Who does that? Who books
nobody.
Books?
I know plenty of people. And she's in school getting better at her craft. But I know what's going to do it for her is what's done it for me. She needs to have time to build up a fan base so that she can manipulate these casting directors the way who we were talking about does.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jen can do it. I've seen Jen's body.
Yeah, Jen can do it for sure.
In private.
But the thing is that, you know, she's at the beginning of her journey. I have the luxury of looking back at this part of the journey, which is the hardest part. And
isn't that right? That you're like, you wouldn't do it again knowing what you had to do,
no.
Right? People are like, I'm like, I blacked out. I don't remember the first 8 years.
I might do it again, but I would be like, yo, you're going to like want to kill yourself. Legitimately. I'm not speaking
I'll never go through the bad part again.
It was horrible.
Just the nothingness.
Yeah. And I'm glad to be able to be here to support her through it as someone who can be like, you are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's really tough. And I know that she needs time to first graduate from her program and then start building out doing the work that you have to do while you have a day job. And she doesn't want to give up her day job. You know what I mean? Like, I've said to her, I don't want to get too codependent, but I was like, you know, if you wanted to go and be a barista or a bartender to have a more flexible job, like, I'd be willing to deal with that for a few years.
Yeah.
Even though that's a lot of pressure, I think you should have the ability to do that. And she's
daddy.
Like, no, I don't want it to be that way. I
no,
want it to
I
be like
respect
team.
It. I think
like,
it's amazing.
We are a team.
No, I appreciate what you're
because
saying.
She would do it for me. Yeah. I know she would do that for me.
Yeah.
So, but she's always like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I need to have my own thing. And
yeah,
you know,
wow. I'm going to send you that book, even though you clearly know that you want to, but it's interesting. The parenting exercises of trying to figure it
What's
out.
What's an example?
It's kind of like visualization and journaling at different points in the day, because not just journaling from a place of like, I'm in a good mood and I'm feeling clear right now. Like when you're irritable, when you're tired, when you're happy.
That's what I always think about.
Yeah.
Every time I have a chronic pain flare up.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck could I be a mom right now?
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Right. Or like,
you have to bend down and pick them up. And bending down is so hard for me some days.
That's why
Sorry,
you have
I'm
a
cry.
Young.
But that's why I keep this.
You really do have so much pain bending down?
Yeah. Some days. But
you got to do yoga.
No, it's actually almost the opposite.
You can't
move. Too much flexibility. I'm hypermobile. So yoga stretching can actually flare me up.
Oh, Jesus.
I have to do more strengthening.
Okay.
Kind of. But whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm doing all these different therapies. I'm trying all these different therapies. God, the medical portion of this is
so hard. Have you heard about NAD shots?
I don't know what that is.
It's supportive of it's autoimmune, right?
No.
It's
no,
not? I don't know what I'm talking about then. I thought you had an autoimmune.
But it might be similar in that inflammation is a big part of the issue. And I know for autoimmune, inflammation can be an issue.
We'll talk about it.
Okay. What I'm going to do is called prolotherapy and PRP, two separate things, but I'm going to try both of them.
PRP is for hair growth.
But I've been waiting till platelet... I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've been waiting till after the special to do these things when I have a little more time. But you know what? Now that I'm speaking... I should book an appointment next week.
Book it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do
I'll come with you.
Okay.
Thank you for coming back on the show.
Are we done?
Yeah, it's been an hour.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you're the best. I can't wait to watch.
I love this show. I love sitting down and chatting with you.
It's easy.
It's so easy.
It's really fun. It's chill. It's honest.
We're in Venice.
We're in Venice. What about it?
There's a really good coffee shop here.
You want to go?
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch your special.
Thank you.
Everyone check it out.
Can we put a link in the description?
Yeah, we'll put a link. We'll do the whole thing. Ashley Gavin.
Thank you.